Today, will changes to CGT spook the property market? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and the Latest World Notice Post, covering finance and property news. Well, first introduced in the 1980s, the capital gains tax, the CGT, is back in the headlines in early 2026 because potential changes to the rules are being discussed ahead of the federal budget, alongside a Senate inquiry that's examining how the tax is applied. Back on the 4th of November last year, the Senate resolved that the Select Committee on the Operation of the Capital Gains Tax Discounts would be established. The committee is to present a final report by the 17th of March 2026. And this past week, they ran hearings and took evidence from a range of parties. Given the pressure on housing at the moment, the arguments are getting, well, pretty heated, with people on one side of the argument claiming that it's the main reason why housing is widely unaffordable for ordinary first-time buyers, and that an inflection point can be traced to where the more generous 50% rate was introduced, because property investors have a natural advantage, especially when coupled with the negative gearing provisions, which allows investors also to offset costs relating to investment property against other income. And the bulk of the benefits accrue to the most affluent, according to the ATO data. Economists told the Senate committee that the current CGT discount overcompensated for inflation, and paring it back could have economic benefits. The Australian Council of Trade Unions argued that reducing those tax breaks could boost home ownership by 4%. The ACTU President Michelle O'Neill said that in the 25 years since the 50% discount was introduced, home prices have surged from 6 times the average income to 11. And the Grattan Institute maintained that the primary benefit would be a $6.5 billion budget windfall to fund public housing and support struggling renters, although the reform could potentially reduce private housing stock by around 10,000 dwellings. Former Council of Trade Unions Secretary and veteran trade unionist Bill Kelty told the inquiry that slashing the capital gains concession is vital to fixing a system he describes as cruel to younger generations. The former Treasury Secretary Ken Henry, for example, threw his support behind the removal of the CGT discount, but warned that grandfathering the measure would lead to unintended consequences. The market is distorted, he said, because of the operation of the tax system, and it happens purely because of the capital gains tax discount. But grandfathering may cause all sorts of unintended consequences. It can lead to terrible distortions that put you in a bit of a slippery slope when it comes to policy making. You can grandfather things like you think you're doing people a favour, but the tax system itself is a pretty complicated animal. And the more grandfathering you put into it, the greater complexity you add to it. And those who oppose any change, from the Liberal Party's view that increasing tax will generally reduce supply of housing in this case, which is a simplistic rule of thumb but a good soundbite, to those who argue that the principle of taxing nominal capital gains at lower rates than ordinary income is unexceptional. It was recognised in Australia's first model of CGT back in 1985. They said the 50% discount to 1999 replaced what was essentially a different form of discount in the 1995 model, based on indexing the cost base of assets to CPI inflation, combined with an averaging scheme that limited the effect of lumpy capital gains, pushing taxpayers into higher tax brackets. The 50% discount overcompensates for inflation. In some cases it does, and in some it compensates or even undercompensates. But the key point is that it was never intended solely to compensate for inflation. It was meant to be a general incentive for saving and investments, which is needed now more than ever in view of stagnant productivity. And on housing, several researchers estimated that cutting the CGT discount would reduce house prices by a few small percent, while increasing rents by a similar amount. But those effects are tiny relative to other influences on prices and rents. Some said that CGT affects more in the investment world than housing. So housing considerations should not drive CGT policy. And the revenue that might be generated from any change is actually being vastly overstated. Others actually suggested that increasing the CGT rate would reduce incentives to invest in new construction projects and could prompt homeowners to hold off on selling their properties to avoid the discount and instead borrow money mortgaged against their property. But one tax specialist told the Senate that the CGT discount should be changed as part of a broader tax reform package. An isolated change such as altering the CGT discount was closer to tinkering than ambitious reform. David Montani proposed broader holistic reform in Australia's tax system. It should include a shift away from income tax, an increase in the GST. The holy grail of tax reform is tax mix reform, shifting from our over-reliance on income tax to consumption taxes with appropriate shielding measures. That is what enables you to do much more. Without that, then you are more limited, he said. And Montani noted that if the CGT discount were reduced as part of a broader tax reform package, this could eliminate the need for administrative complexities such as grandfathering. This is because prospective economic losers from a reduction in the CGT discount would be compensated through other changes, such as a reduction in their income tax rate. Now, Treasurer Jim Chalmers has not ruled out capital gains tax reform as part of the upcoming May budget, and there are some hints that a change to the negative gearing rules could also be on the table. So there are two points I think we should think about. First, changing the CGT discount on its own, or the negative gearing, is not actually tax reform, but it could have a place in broad tax reform that substantially reduces marginal rates and reduces the large disparities in the tax treatment of different forms of savings. Nobody in government is actually really talking about this. So it's much more about announceables than real reform. Again, it's being seen to be doing something when you're not really doing much at all. And second, the talk will impact decisions now out there in property land. If you add this current debate to the expectation of more rate hikes in the months ahead, and we can expect further moderation in the property market, especially in the major Sydney and Melbourne markets. When tax reform was last being discussed back in 2019, when the Labor government had some almost coherent tax policy reforms in the manifesto, we saw a significant fall in property listings and some price falls. So could this happen again? Well, the data from the auctions this weekend, according to Catality, revealed that the combined capital's early clearance rate was 68.9% on slightly higher volumes. That was slightly better than last week's result. This, of course, only includes reported auctions. The true picture of planned auctions versus sold is actually 50.4%, which is pretty close to last week, and results varied across the cities. Melbourne had a preliminary clearance of 70.4%, according to Catality, based on 1,838 auctions. That's up from the previous week's 68.1%. Sydney, meanwhile, recorded a slight easing in its preliminary clearance rate, slipping to 65.5% compared to the previous week's 67.1%. And in the smaller capitals, Brisbane cleared 78.4% based on 135 properties sent to auction. Meanwhile, of the 137 homes sent to auction in Adelaide, 75.9% were cleared, down from the previous 82.5% from last week. But in my recent conversations with prospective vendors and buyers, I am detecting a change in appetite, with some choosing to refrain from listing their properties as they currently have CGT benefits, while some first-time buyers are getting cautious thanks to the higher rates incoming and the broader financial pressures from higher inflation. Now, when you overlay the impact of higher oil prices and the global uncertainty following the Iran war, which broke out over the weekend, all up, we may see some slowing markets and weaker price growth ahead. Personally, I continue to believe lower home prices would be a net positive for the country. And for more on this, see my recent live stream with Leith Van Onselen, where we went into the arguments in detail. But the key point for me is this: we must do proper tax reform in Australia. Nickel and diming around CGT and negative gearing won't really move the dial. Our tax system is badly broken, not least because of the frozen bands and the greater reliance on individuals compared with businesses. And the system is so complex that some claim the average Australian ends up paying somewhere about $8,000 a year just on tax management. So it is time for real reform. And in the meantime, yeah, properties could actually become a little cheaper and the markets could slow a bit. But I guess we'll have to see how that plays out. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultant standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance and the Lytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.